Hi, you're listening to Go See a Show, the Off-Off-Broadway podcast. It's time once again for the New York International Fringe Festival, and Go See a Show is happy to welcome back on the mic director Kristen McCarthy Parker, director of a play getting its world premiere in the festival, which features E.E. Cummings, whiskey, stuffed koalas, and lonely people. Comrades Won't, by playwright Christina Michelle Watkins. Here's Kristen.
But anyway, we'll talk about Comrades Won't, and then, am I saying that right, Comrades?
It's like a cross between, it's a play on the word comrade,
right? Or
it's E.E. Cummings' play on the word comrade, so I feel like it wants to be like comrade, but I think in the play, our actress, when she first stumbles across this poem, because it does appear in the show itself. She's flipping through his books, and she finds, you know, he has a lot of E.E. Cummings, and she, you know, decides to read one of them out loud. And she just sort of says, comrades, like, what's a comrade? And he's then goes on to explain, like, well, you know, it's from the old Soviet Union days. It's a play on comrade.
So the play is Comrades Won't, mm-hmm. and you're doing this as part of the Fringe Festival.
Yes.
And because it's part of the Fringe Festival and upcoming and only takes place over 6 performances very, very quickly, and I hate the fact that I always post episodes late, which I did with Bears, and I refuse to do that to you again. We're talking about it before I've seen the show. So what is Comrades Won't? What's going on?
So the basic premise is that there's a younger female and an aging veteran, and they work together at a diner, kind of, you know, probably some, like, economically unfortunate suburb in the middle of nowhere, essentially. And they have an ongoing flirtation, if you want to say. It's nothing like open, really, at the diner. And this play opens, the entire play takes place in Walter's apartment. Walter is this older male character. And the play opens with her going to visit him at his apartment. Late one night in the middle of a snowstorm. And there's a lot of speculating on his part as to, like, why she's there. And he knows that they sort of have this thing from work, but what's really going on. And it's essentially the story of two very lonely, somewhat damaged people trying to come together across those walls and those defenses that they have put up to protect themselves. And our playwright, Christina Michelle Watkins, has written this much more eloquently, but she has said that, like, she was basically interested in how our personal hang-ups and our, I guess, our efforts to defend ourselves against getting hurt actually result in making us more lonely and more isolated than we might be otherwise, as opposed if we allowed ourselves to be really vulnerable.
Sounds like a very personal, character-driven drama.
Yeah.
And how did you find the show? The show is not being... So the last time, I should say, I didn't give the whole, like, it's Kristen McCarthy Parker, director of Comrades Won't. I didn't do the whole thing, but you were last on the podcast with Sans A., and you and I know each other through Amios,
yes,
and the Shots series.
Yes.
And this is not that. This is just you and Nick Abiel and a few other people putting on a show in the Fringe. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how did you find this show, and why did you feel the need to take this show about these two lonely, damaged people and put it up in the Fringe?
Well, it is distinct from Sans A, but it did begin with them, actually. That's a group of people who went to the University of Evansville, and Christina, our playwright, also was a student there as well with us. We actually lived together my junior year and her senior year. So Sans A did a reading of this play a year and a half ago, right after I had first arrived in New York, and it was the first sort of directing thing that I did when I got here. And Christina had been working on the play at that point for a couple of years, and I had read a draft of it and really fallen in love with it, and we were excited to do this sort of workshop and reading of the play. And from that, it became apparent that the script had enough workshop, enough development, that it was ready to be put on as a production. One of the the problematic factors is that Christina lives in Chicago, however, and I'm, and you know, most of my, my working colleagues are here in New York. So for a while we didn't, we sort of sat on it. And then this past winter, actually right as I was getting started to do Bears, it sort of occurred to me, like, what about the Fringe Festival? And I looked it up, and the deadline was like quickly approaching, and so we just sort of applied out of the blue. And ended up getting in. And at that point, you know, Nick had enough experience with the play that he was eager to be involved. And then Christina, we wanted somebody else from Chicago involved as well. So our friend Taylor, who is a director and producer in his own right, but also pretty fantastic with media and social marketing and that sort of, social media, decided to join the team as well. So taking it to the Fringe for us was more a decision of this play is ready to have an audience, and like what better place than to do it at a sort of low tech, you know, script driven, you know, venue like the Fringe Festival.
Low tech is kind of the name of the game when it comes to Fringe, as you and I were discussing earlier in recounting our festival experiences. So what is, because I haven't seen the show and I can't really comment on it, how would you characterize to someone who, like me, who's a big theater nerd and just really wants to know, how'd you make it work? Like, how are you going to make this show work in Fringe? What is your set like? How did you piece it together? Especially with, it sounds like, is the design team also in Chicago? Or is everybody here that's doing creative work? How does that work?
Our design team is kind of a loose term for this show. 'Cause, I mean, honestly, so... The show takes is entirely set in his you know apartment, which is basically like it's like an efficiency motel. So he has like a, he has a bed, he has a table, he has a couple of chairs, and not a lot else. There are certain like written in the script. There are other elements that we have sort of decided to omit from this production, such as falling snow and things that are difficult to rig in the 15 minutes that we have to set up for our play before we take the stage.
It's not difficult. It's impossible. You can't get snow in 15 minutes in a Fringe show without projection. There's just no way.
So we are, you know, and that's certainly a concern of ours going in, but I think we're deciding to embrace the bare bones quality of Walter's interior decorating.
It's the only way to do it. It's the only way to do it.
And work with what we have, and as much as possible focus on the two characters and their development with each other. I think we're more interested in doing something that is successful within our means than attempting to do something that is unsuccessful or messy outside of our means, if that makes sense.
That's actually a really good way to put it. Successful within the means. I've seen a couple of shows recently that did that very, very well. So, yeah, that's a really good idea. One of my favorite questions, because I can't answer this question for myself, again, I keep referring to not having seen the show. This is really awkward. Sorry about that. But not having seen the show, I always am curious why we do a show. So for you, like, why did you want to take on self-producing with Nick and with the other folks that are involved in this and direct this show? Mm-hmm. Why this show right now in the 2013 Fringe Festival?
Yeah. Well, I mean, my main interest in getting involved was to direct it, and the producing sort of came out of necessity and realizing that since I was spearheading this effort, I really should sort of take the responsibility upon myself.
Right, and that responsibility, yeah. I know this from personal experience, and maybe you have different experiences, but, like, that responsibility sucks. Yeah. I hate producing.
Yeah.
I utterly despise producing. So, and anyone who's listening, go listen to the episode with Mac and Sean about, what was the name of the show? They just did it in gameplay.
I don't know. You're blanking
on the name.
No,
but I'm blanking on the name of the show, and it was so good. Ligature marks. I had a producer on the podcast, and he was talking about how producing was so creative and like what he loved about producing. And I was like, I need you to inspire me, because right now I would go produce like Oklahoma just because like it sounds so cool to do what you do.
Right.
But when it comes down to the nitty gritty of doing it, like I hate it. So again, to bring it back to this conversation. I hate producing, and it's a big pain. So what about the script as a director made you want to direct it so much that you were going to go out and produce
it? I was willing to assume that responsibility.
Or maybe you don't hate it as much as I do, but again.
I guess, so for me, I think I have, it just speaks to me on a very personal level. I think that in my own life, it's difficult for me to let people in and to reach out and to let people in. And this is something that Christina and I talked about very, very frequently when we were living together, when we were in school together. I don't want to get too personal about it, but just sort of the struggles that we had in being vulnerable and in trusting other people and in sort of overcoming our personal issues. And I think I've seen a lot of, quiet kind of like kitchen sink drama plays that feel tired or outdated or, just sort of generic. And Christina has introduced a lot of, I think, of a very fresh young voice, and also like a diversity to this show. I mean, she herself is African American, and the young female character is African American as well. And while it's not a play about race, there certainly is a dynamic that's completely, I think, oftentimes neglected in modern theater. To have a young black female voice represented on the stage in a show like this. So I was just, I found it really intriguing and funny and heartbreaking and sad, but also just a really poignant sort of look at a relationship between two people who are very different and who we don't normally envision having any sort of connection, but who are struggling to connect with each other nonetheless. I don't know. Does that answer your question?
It does in spades, actually. Yeah, and that's okay. I like that. I like that you mentioned that there's so many kitchen sink dramas that come out. It feels like there's a conveyor belt of the things, and lonely people like trying. There's sometimes it feels like that is the go-to meme for playwrights, and this sounds like the sort of play that takes that and sort of tweaks it in the right way to make it something that actually shows us something about the current state of affairs in the world.
I would agree.
Well, I hope that is the case.
See it.
I'm sure that is the case. So I would, how can folks come see it? Where are you going to be? What venue are you at? And what are your dates?
We are at Teatro Circulo, which is located at 64 East 4th Street. It's right on the 4th Arts Block, downtown, which is a great area. Lots of good places to go out and eat or grab a drink or whatever after the show as well. We only have 5 performances because it's Fringe, and they're all at various random times, but the best way to figure out about it is to go to fringenyc.org and click on their buy tickets link, or you can find us. We're at comradeswon't.com. We're also on Facebook. So,
and that's comrades. Spell comrades.
KUMRADS. Won't. WONT.
Excellent, Kristen. Thanks for doing this.
Totally. Thank you for having me.
Even though I'm recording you on my iPhone outside of a Starbucks on West 56th.
It's very posh. We're really,
Thank you, Kristen, for returning to the podcast, and I'm glad I've got this episode up before your show closes. Speaking of, catch Comrades Won't in the New York International Fringe Festival starting from the day this episode premieres, Thursday, August 15th, 2013 at 2 p.m. at Teatro Circulo, 64 East 4th Street on the 4th Arts Block in Manhattan, with 5 additional performances to follow through Wednesday, August 21st. Because it's Fringe, the times are not consistent. So visit comradeswon't.com. That's KUMRADSWONT.com for exact dates and times. Thanks to you for listening into the podcast. If you dig it, like it on Facebook, facebook.com/GoSeeAShow. Follow @GoSeeAShow on Twitter, and rate and or comment on the show's iTunes page. And a note for anyone in the off-Broadway scene here in New York, Go See a Show is helping to spread the word about some great affordable rehearsal space in Manhattan. Just $10 an hour. If your company or project is looking for space, please get in touch with me. You can contact me with questions about this affordable rental opportunity, along with any comments, suggestions, praise, or complaints, by email. Robbie, R-O-B-B-Y, at gocashowpodcast.com. Until next time, go see a show.
This is the podcast that goes back to the roots, you know?